Today we celebrate a feast older than Christmas. This feast, the feast of St. Peter and Paul, dates at least to the 3rd century. And here we celebrate the two foremost apostles of the early church, St. Peter and St. Paul. Peter, the first bishop of Rome, and Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. We wear red today because we celebrate their supreme witness and martyrdom. Tradition holds that Peter was crucified upside down and buried at the Vatican Hill, while Paul was beheaded and buried along the Via Ostiense. The feast is marked by a unique Roman tradition of visiting three stational churches. The first and most well-known, St. Peter's Basilica, built over St. Peter's tomb. The second, St. Paul outside the walls, which marks Paul's burial site. And the third, St. Pietro in Vincoli, St. Peter in chains, which houses the chains, believed to have bound Peter in prison. We celebrate these two apostles together because they each symbolize different aspects of the church. Peter symbolizes stability, pastoral care, and church authority, for our Lord tells him, "On this rock I will build my church." Paul represents mission, theology, and evangelization. These two men bring together two different backgrounds. Peter, more of a blue-collar fisherman, and Paul, if you might, a more white-collar, a scholarly Pharisee. Together, they show forth the church's unity among diversity. Today's feast is celebrated in both the East and the West and is the most significant day for Orthodox Catholic relations. Each year, a delegation from the Ecumenical Patriarch is sent to Rome. Just yesterday, they met with Pope Leo, and this morning they attended Solemn Mass in St. Peter's Basilica, presided over by the Pope. Because we are still not yet in full communion, the Orthodox clergy do not concelebrate at Mass, but stand vested in choir dress. The Patriarch receives a seat of honor, joins in the Liturgy of the Word, and recites the Creed in both Greek and Latin. Today we're just going to do Latin. We'd be here a long time if it was Greek, but maybe someday. Since our diocese is the first living example of restored unity among Western Christians, this feast holds an especially important place. It also holds a place because our ordinariate, our diocese, is named the Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We are directly under the Pope, have a direct relationship and a special relationship and a special devotion to the Holy Father. For this reason, our priestly ordinations take place on this feast, including my own ordination 2 years ago. 2 years have gone by fast. And on one hand, my priesthood has become such a part of me that life before ordination seems like a distant memory. On the other hand, I still sometimes wake up in the middle of the night and wonder, is this all a dream? Such was the experience of Peter when he was delivered by an angel from a probable death in a Jerusalem prison. He was not sure if it was a vision or real, but he followed the angel nonetheless. The miraculous delivery came after earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. After passing through the gates, the angels left him, and St. Luke tells us, Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod." There are times when we are distracted by the worries of the world, anxieties, and our own inclination to selfishness. But through earnest prayer made by the church, God provides us with the means of salvation And this is no vision. This is no dream. But this is reality. The reality is, if we are baptized, like little baby John Lawrence Pell was baptized before Mass, we are made, as our prayer of thanksgiving after Mass says, we are made members incorporate in the mystical body of Christ. Which means, as our prayer of thanksgiving continues, it reminds us that we are part of the blessed company of all faithful people. And finally, are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom. And within that wider kingdom of the church, the reality is, we have been given the most beautiful gift of this parish. A parish that if we center our lives and families around, will only grow more deep, more beautiful, more effective in time. Like my priesthood, I still must pinch myself to remind me that this is all real. That we have this life together. That we have this beautiful liturgy. That we have become heirs to in this kingdom. A liturgy that we have inherited both from our Roman and English ancestors. And the reality is that we are called to share. Pope Benedict XVI called this worthy liturgical patrimony treasures to be shared. First, those we are called to love, those who are closest to us, perhaps our families, if we are married and have children, our children, and perhaps even grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors, and all those in this community who need the light of Christ. The reality is, we have been given a treasure and we are called to share it, even to the point of sacrifice. Indeed, to the point of sacrifice. As St. Paul so eloquently puts it, I am already on the point of being sacrificed. If we offer ourselves in sacrifice, all that we are, all that we have been given, then we will be able to say, when our time for departure comes, with St. Paul. Now think of this. This is leading up to his martyrdom. What beautiful words he says, words that we can make our own. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. So is our prayer. So is my prayer. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearance. As St. Augustine puts it, on this feast day of these glorious apostles, Peter and Paul, let us embrace what they believed, their life, their labors, their sufferings, their preaching, and their confession of faith.